out and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping, out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving, they just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it.
Those are not just any books, those are pornographic books. And Santa Rosa County School District schools filled with pornographic books. That is very unfortunate that we are waiting for the guidance from above to remove those books. I urge each one of you to be a little bit more passionate, just like we with Moms for Liberty Santa Rosa County.
I urge the board to carefully consider providing the entire community with a transparent process for reviewing contested books, including minutes and/or video records. Additionally, I propose setting a limit on the number of active reconsiderations one person can file, preventing undue influence, monopoly, and distortion of the educational environment.
I'm just going to say it. Books in our libraries are being challenged because they do not fit into the white, Christian, heterosexual, cisgender box that some members of our community feel that they should. Well, neither do our students. For many students, books are where they see themselves and their experiences represented. For many students, books are the only place that they feel safe and understood. With parent consent, our students should have access to books that represent a variety of races, backgrounds, experiences, and stories.
So, the debate rages at the Santa Rosa County School Board meeting. This was last week. And the voices you heard there, Maria Calkins, of course, who is with Moms for Liberty, Santa Rosa County. That's right. She's Russian birth and, you know, the wife of Commissioner James Calkins. And she was the one who says that, you know, the shelves are filled with pornography and we've got to get rid of it. Then you had Dr. Alana Porsakansky, who has got two kids in Gulf Breeze High and is a physician. And says, you know, we need to have a more transparent process because I guess now we let Canadians speak at the forum. I'm just kidding. No, she seemed like a very, very sharp lady. And then Kendra Booth, the last one there, who says, you know, that what we're really talking about is a bunch of white Christians want straight, right, white Christians want everything in the library to reflect their worldview. So not surprising to have this conversation. The allegation about Santa Rosa County School libraries is that they contain all kinds of materials that are completely inappropriate for kids and are, you know, sexually suggestive, lurid, pornographic, in violation of law. The response from the Santa Rosa County School District, and there are others who say that what you think is obscene, my kids might want to read, and so you shouldn't be making this decision for my kids. The response from the Santa Rosa County School Board and school district in general is we have a process, and the way books get removed by a request of a citizen is this fairly lengthy process. And they had a really good presentation at the beginning of this meeting from Ruth Witter, who is the head of instructional technology. And basically she said, look, you know, step A, different from in Escambia County. Remember, in Escambia County, you kind of have this I don't know, you can make a complaint, and it basically, it goes through a review process, same thing, but it seems to have gotten a little bit off track in Escambia County, where all of a sudden all of these books are being heard by the school board. Now, whether that's because they're doing it faster or slower, or because they're doing it differently, it's still not 100% clear to me. But in Santa Rosa County, you go step A, and it seems like most of the complaints have been resolved at step A.
Step A is when a complainant is concerned about material. They contact the school, and they meet with the school library media specialist and, if needed, the school administrator, and they discuss the material. In all cases so far, including recent ones, we have been able to resolve everything we have been given in step A, because we either honor a parent's request for their student not to have access to material, which is what has traditionally happened, or we can come to an agreement on the material.
And if they can't come to an agreement, then you would go to steps B, C, D, E, F, where you would have a local board would review it, and then you would eventually have a county board, countywide board review it, and then you would eventually bring it to the school board. But that's a long process. In fact, I'm looking at the flow chart that Ruth was explaining, and, it's really, if you meet with the local librarian and it's not resolved, then you go to step B. Then you're given instructions on how to file a complaint. And if you return those, then you go to step C, which is school-level procedures. There's a committee. The materials stay on the shelf, although that presumption is going to change as of July 1st on Saturday, because the new law says that if the objection is about it being obscene, then it has to go off the shelf, whereas the current law allows it to stay on the shelf. Then the school-level committee evaluates the material. You get 15 days. If the complainant is happy, good. If not, then you go to the district level, where you have, again, written notification and then district level procedures with a board formed by the superintendent and some other folks. If it's not resolved, then eventually they go to the school library media specialist about that decision, and another complaint gets filed or advanced forward, and then eventually you go to the school board level. And so it's a long process. We get to step N. So that's 14 steps in this process to ever have a book removed if you find it objectionable at the local level. As I say, in Escambia County, the process seems to be you file a complaint, and again, you do have these lower levels, but they seem to have been handling it much more quickly. The difference in Santa Rosa is they say all the complaints get resolved at the A stage. Every complaint they've had, including recent ones, according to Ruth Witter, has been resolved, including the A stage. So then why are Moms for Liberty, why are these people showing up at the school board meeting saying that you still have this material? I feel to me it's not entirely clear what that objection constitutes. It could be, I know from some of the things they said, that they feel like this whole process is too cumbersome and clunky and bureaucratic. Another complaint is, well, we're trying to get our way through this process, and so far we've just kind of been log jammed on it. It could be hard to find a person who's got maybe a kid in that school that can complain about it. I don't know, but again, in Santa Rosa, you have the books that are not being removed, okay? But there's the complaint that the books need to be removed, and there's this process of going through things to make sure that everything is done properly and according to the law. So one of the things that's going to change as of Saturday, July 1st, is this presumption of what happens with the book when, somebody challenges a book that's based on, again, obscenity, pornography, or whatever.
So right now, as our policy stands, if a complainant complains about material, we keep it on the shelf until the conclusion of the process, of the review process. We know with 1069, if it's based on sexual content, that it has to be removed until the conclusion of the process. So those are the things we know already.
And so, that's kind of going to be a change in the presumption of the law. When there's been a challenge filed and not resolved, the book stays out of the shelf. When currently it stays on the shelf. The other question, and Karen Barber asked, superintendent asked Ruth Witter, why haven't any of these cases risen to the level of the school board? Why haven't we had the circus in Santa Rosa that we've had in Escambia County where you have these five-hour meetings to discuss three books?
So, Ruth, to be clear.
Yes, ma'am.
We haven't had the district or the school board step because we have resolved the limited number.
Correct. What we have is
the
things.
School level.
What we have is communications to the district, and we have to redirect that our policy is the school level. And so that's what we have done. Whenever we get communications at the district level, we redirect back to the school level because that's where our policy starts.
So that's why you haven't had them rise up to the school board level. Now, I did think it was interesting because I always like to listen to people, right? And I thought it was interesting to listen to Ruth Witter explain what the criteria are for removing books apart from the possibility of them being, pornographic or obscene, that there actually is a whole process that you go through for curating collections. And, in Santa Rosa County, they've got about 500,000 books in the libraries. They think that between that and the what the teachers have in their classrooms, although a lot of the teachers, they say, have removed books from their own classrooms because they don't want to deal with the drama, and they're worried about having a book in there that they're not supposed to have. So you have empty shelves in school classrooms, again, according to representatives of the county and, you know, Carol Boston, who's a school board member. But, you know, what do you do? What's the process for removing books and curating that collection when it's not a violation of the law, per se?
So it's a fun acronym called MUSTY. So the first one is misleading. So a reason that we would get rid of books is because it's not accurate anymore. So I like to use the example of Pluto. I mean, is it a planet at this point? I don't know. It keeps going back and forth of being a planet and not being a planet. The information is just out of date. There's some other reasons, but I do really want to highlight that it no longer matches current guidelines for selection. So if our selection criteria changes as a result of legislation, and that's reflected in our school board policy, that is an important reason for us to get rid of material or to deselect material.
So misleading or not current is maybe a better way to say it, but misleading, MUSTY, M-U-S-T-I, by the way, I believe, not M-U-S-T-Y. And then the rest of the acronym?
Ugly. It's in bad shape, especially in the elementary schools. Those books get pretty beat up. People spill food, all that on the books. So that's a reason. Superseded, so there's a newer edition. I'm going to kind of put trivial and irrelevant together, because what those two mean together is that it's not relevant to the students anymore. It's not getting checked out, and we have circulation statistics to back that up. Elsewhere. We can get that material from somewhere else, maybe another school within our district or maybe the public library, but we can get that elsewhere because sometimes space is an issue in our libraries.
Okay, so some books, I mean, you have limited shelf space basically, right? You know, you're trying to manage the scarce ability to stock the book on a shelf where the kids can have it, and something that's silly, trivial, not relevant, or, you know, maybe it's only a low, low, low priority and you can get that from somewhere else. You don't need to have five copies in the district. Maybe you only need to have one, you know, that kind of stuff. That's how they're managing these collections. So just kind of interesting to hear her talk about that. And, you know, I don't think this particularly satisfied the complainants, the critics in the audience, but it is an answer for why, for example, in Escambia, you've got this thing that's gone all the way to the school board several times, and we've had about 10, I think, something like that. It seems like we've had 3 full meetings, maybe 4, where we have these fights. And in Santa Rosa, you just haven't had that yet because the steps of the process haven't really been satisfied. 522 on News Radio 92. Now, does that mean that there are no bad books in the schools? Well, I don't know. There are claims of them. You know, I know people who I think their judgment is right, where they say they've seen books that really definitely should not be on the shelves. But of course, the ultimate question is, who gets to make that decision? Is it one person on the outside looking in, one citizen on the outside looking in? Is it the librarians and the media specialists who know the collections? Well, you know, the authority rests with the school board, ultimately, right? It doesn't rest with the individual citizen. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here at the Almond Joy Factory, where tropical vibes abound, we use soft, fresh-tasting coconut.
The crunchiest almonds and delicious chocolate candy.
Ah, but do you know what our most important ingredient is?
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy's got nuts and something even way better than that. Yes, Almond Joy is made with almonds and joy.
Marcus Point Baptist Church is proud to bring Sportsman's Night Out back and bigger than ever. Join us as we welcome the star of A&E's Duck Dynasty, Willie Robertson, and Hall of Fame fishing legend Hank Parker to the Pensacola Bay Center on August 3rd. You could win a camper from Carpenter's Campers, Kubota tractor from Coastal Machinery, a HVAC system from Florida Air, and more. It'll be an incredible night for the entire family. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We'll see you August 3rd at the Pensacola Bay Center.
This is Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell. The 4th of July is an important holiday for all Americans. For some husbands, however, in troubled marriages, holidays are marked more by hardship than harmony. If you're such a guy and considering divorce, know all your options. We advise, we advocate, and when necessary, we litigate.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
No soup for you! Come back 1 year!
They put a parking lot on a piece of land
where the supermarket. I have a new profanity for you. Yeah, you ready? It's a new profanity that you've never heard before, Candy. You ready? Yeah. Ryan Seacrest.
Oh.
That's the new profanity.
Somebody try to wax you?
No, yeah. Ryan Seacrest is going to be the new host of Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, he is. Okay, that's great.
Don't say it like that. How dare you? How dare you be excited?
Ryan Seacrest. What? He's going to be fine.
I don't really have strong opinions about this.
Nobody does. That's why it's Ryan Seacrest.
He's the most 2% of all the milquetoast there is out there.
Right. He was a DJ, and that didn't work out. So he went to American Idol, and he bloomed.
Yeah.
And that other guy that was a DJ with him just went on that fat camp on MTV.
Now Vanna White, who's going to stay at the show.
Hey!
That's got to be awkward.
Oh.
You know, and apparently is upset she doesn't get paid as much as Pat Sajak. Who knew?
What a surprise.
I know. How surprising, right? 437-1620. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Marine veteran Daniel Penny, that's the man who used the deadly chokehold on a homeless man on a subway train in New York City, is being arraigned this morning. A grand jury voted earlier this month to indict Penny for the death of Jordan Neely. Penny maintains he was protecting himself and others. Smoke from Canadian wildfires has drifted into the U.S. again. Chicago and Detroit have some of the worst air quality in the world. Right now, conditions in cities across the Great Lakes region reached code purple. That's the second worst air quality index reading. And
that's, by the way, that's not smoke. That's the McKenzie brothers.
Nice.
Nobody. Okay. Is this thing on? Go on, David.
And a janitor ruined 20 years of research recently by turning off a freezer in a lab. Apparently, this freezer had cell cultures at a research university in New York in it. And Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute now seeking $1 million from the cleaning company. Apparently, the janitor was a subcontractor.
It doesn't seem like this refrigerator is doing very much. I think I'll just turn it off. It's not like I work at a research lab trying to clean up and, you know, lo and behold, we got like cell lines and I don't know everything that was in there, but, you know, all kinds of biomedical research and it's just all destroyed.
Well, and apparently something was beeping and he was like shutting things off trying to get something to quit beeping.
Man. It's the worst. I can only imagine what for all of that work, all that research, all of those, you know, probably grad students and everybody, and you come to work and you're like, that's weird. I wouldn't have expected there to be a pool of water underneath my lab fridge. Wait, why is the lab fridge off? Wait, oh no! Oh, that's bad. David, thanks so much for the update. 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? Oh, I have weird little news. Can I tell you some weird little news?
Yeah.
I've got
Danny pregnant again.
No.
Oh.
Wow.
That'd be big news.
We sure jumped on that one.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
Fair
okay.
Enough.
So no.
No, that's not it. Interesting choice of options though. Harrison Ford was not the original pick to be Indiana Jones. Harrison Ford was not the first option to be Indiana Jones. Did you know that?
I don't know if I did or
I don't,
not.
Yeah, I don't
I can't
think I
picture anybody.
Right, it's hard to imagine anybody else. But George Lucas wanted him to have the role, told him to go to Spielberg and you know read for the role. But that was after their number one turned out to not be available. Magnum PI. Tom Selleck.
Oh, he would have been great.
Tom Selleck as Indiana Jones.
Oh, I love Tom Selleck. He would have been fantastic.
Can I say it this
but
way?
But I love Harrison Ford.
A completely different character,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
He's debonair and dashing. Not that Harrison Ford's not, but that's not the character he played, right?
No, he always plays angry guy.
Well, but angry
medium
and
attractive.
Fumbling and kind of like weirdly
I
capable
know.
And also... Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, that would have been well. So, apparently, Tom Selleck had this pilot TV show that he was working on that the network was thinking about picking up called Magnum P.I.
That's why he couldn't do Indiana Jones.
That made him ineligible to work to take the film role. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And when the network heard that he was being considered for the film role and there might be like a choice to be had, they offered him the gig on like the full time, picked up the contract for Magnum P.I. Yeah. And so he was genuinely unavailable. All right. So that's my step one.
What a fun win-win.
I know. It's cool. And actually, George Lucas at the time was a little bit concerned about working again with Harrison Ford after Star Wars because he didn't want it to become, in his words, he didn't want it to become like Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro.
Which I totally
he
did.
He didn't want to become,
although,
you know, pigeonholed.
How awful would that be?
Exactly. That's terrible. You don't want to be
need
like
all
two classics.
Oscars.
Right.
And he didn't.
So the other one, I have another Harrison Ford. I don't know. I just these two stories came across yesterday. And I thought it was fascinating. The other weird Harrison Ford story, another odd movie choice is, again, Steven Spielberg's connecting with this one. Name the movie that Harrison, one of the biggest movies of all time, for a decade it was the top grossing film in history. It's not anymore, obviously. And it was a movie that Steven Spielberg directed. It's a very short title. It's only two letters.
E.T.
Harrison Ford was in E.T.
As what?
Until he was cut out. He was the teacher in the class giving Elliot and friends a lecture about don't abuse alcohol. Remember how E.T. gets drunk in the one scene or whatever?
Yes, absolutely. And they have to drag him around.
You don't see his face, but he was turned around, but you could clearly hear his voice.
Shut up.
And he got cut because it didn't facilitate the narrative particularly well. Also, that script, weirdly written by Melissa Matheson, who was, or no, maybe not, yeah, his ex-wife.
Really?
So weirdly, yeah.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Chicago and Detroit have some of the worst air quality in the world right now due to smoke from wildfires in Canada.
AirNow.gov categorizing Chicago's air quality as very unhealthy. The hazy air has led to beaches closing, events like Movies in the Park at the Museum of Science and Industry being canceled.
Casey Cronus with Fox 32 Chicago. At least nine people are reported to have been killed, three of them children, in a Russian missile strike in eastern Ukraine.
Rescuers pull a survivor out of the rubble of the Ria Lounge restaurant in Kramatorsk. The downtown shopping and dining area was struck as locals tried to enjoy dinner. There's already an overnight curfew, but Russia's threat arrived earlier than usual. President Zelensky said Russia should face the consequences of its actions, defeat and a war crimes tribunal.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31, News Radio 92.3. Already hot today. It's 80 degrees here at 5:31 this morning. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office says a third suspect has now been arrested in connection to that fatal shooting in Pace last week. 20-year-old Tigerius Malone is charged with first-degree murder for the death of 24-year-old Joseph Lieb. Two other suspects, Marcus Dickinson and Jacoby James, were arrested and charged last week. James was charged with first-degree murder, while Dickinson faces a charge of second-degree murder. Sheriff Bob Johnson says the shooting happened during a robbery attempt. Lieb died after being shot while he was trying to drive away from the scene on Wallace Lake Road. A 30-year-old Pensacola man accused of sexually assaulting a girl for about a decade, starting when she was only 5 years old. Yesterday morning, Derek Young was booked into the Escambia County Jail and charged with two counts of sexual battery. He's being held without bond, according to the arrest report. The alleged incidents took place between June of 2011 and July of 2021. Young would have been between 18 and 28 years old. The victim came forward, reported the alleged assaults in December of last year. Triumph Gulf Coast giving a big boost to UWF's desire to expand its College of Health.
We are very excited about the potential for Triumph to help us with healthcare and workforce needs in our regional area. Now, we have brought some additional value, we think, to this proposal as we are now planning on expanding nursing programs out to our Emerald Coast campus, which would engage a different area of the panhandle in this particular proposal.
And Dr. David Beller is the Dean of the College of Health. Triumph is committing nearly $6.7 million over the next 8 years. That's about 40% of the total project cost. UWF will be renovating and expanding its nursing facilities, both at the Pensacola and Emerald Coast campuses. After those 8 years, UWF expects a minimum of 200 new registered nurses, 135 medical scientist certificates, and 750 CNA certificates to be attained. Jurors in Broward County continuing to discuss the fate of a former school resource officer today, Scott Peterson, on trial for child neglect for his response or lack of a response to the deadly school shooting in Parkland 5 years ago. Prosecutors say the 60-year-old refused to enter Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School to protect students and teachers while shots rang out. Peterson's lawyers say he couldn't determine where those shots were coming from. Those jury deliberations started on Monday this week. 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Very hot.
hot and humid today with a high near 94 degrees, 20% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, very warm with the temperatures overnight dropping near 77. Hot, humid weather continues for your Thursday, high near 96, 10% chance of rain. Low Thursday night near 80 degrees. We're going to stay warm as we head into the weekend with rain chance staying low 10 to 20%. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
79 right now in Pensacola, 83 in Gulf Breeze, and 77 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Dales Marine Construction is passionate about creating waterfront structures and shoreline protections. Whether it's a small individual project or a large-scale corporate design, Dales Marine works hard to help you create a plan that satisfies your needs or wants for the space. From small residential docks and piers to large marinas and seawalls, Dales Marine, licensed and insured in Santa Rosa and Escambia County, the area's leader and expert in marine construction for over 30 years and proud sponsor of the Blue Angels.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Again, hot today, by the way. Again, hot today, so please be careful. Yesterday, had a really unique opportunity to talk to Sheriff Chip Simmons, as we always do on a Tuesday, but Sheriff had brought a guest with him yesterday, somebody that was just overwhelmingly fascinating to talk to. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Tell us who you brought with you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Doing great. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. If you recall, last week or so, we had torrential downpours and a lot of flooding. And one particular incident, we had one of our deputies that was trying to save some motorists on the side of the road. And I have that deputy. That deputy was the one that got sucked into the storm drain and went under 98.
Uh-huh.
That deputy is with me today. I have Deputy William Hollingsworth with me. He's kind enough to come back from vacation and just want to say hello. Want to come in and say hi to all the people in Pensacola.
Well, Deputy William Hollingsworth, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Good morning.
You didn't know you were going to get a fan club walk-up, did you?
No.
Candy's a big fan.
Well, thank you guys for what you do.
Yeah, so, I mean, what an amazing story. And I think this is your first interview you're doing, is that right?
Yes, sir.
But you got,
except
like, you got some TV.
Then morning after.
That's right, yeah, right. But you've got,
morning,
but you've
day,
got some TV interviews coming up later today, so this is practice?
Yes, sir.
You're going to do great. You're going to do fantastic.
Thank you.
So, first of all, how long have you been on the force?
I've been on the road for 3 years. I've been with the agency for 7.
Oh, okay, okay. So, 3 years, and so this, I'm thinking of when, so you were on during Sally. Did you work Sally?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so this is not your first big rain event.
No, sir.
But you, so you've seen stuff like this, but you've never seen anything quite like this before.
No, sir.
So you tell me, we know what happened in the horrible part. What was the lead up? How did you encounter this motorist by the Sherwin-Williams on Highway 98?
Well, from about Winn-Dixie to the Arby's on 98 was a real hot spot for flooding. The south side of the highway was basically becoming a big pond, and motorists were just driving right into it. And I was checking the vehicles to make sure we didn't have any trapped motorists, because some of them were submerged. And one particular motorist had stopped, and there were some people outside of the vehicle, and we're trying to get them away from any danger. I had given a ride to another citizen back over to his house after his car had been submerged, and I was basically just trying to help these guys out, doing the same thing.
Now you're in the Tahoe, I assume, sir. So you've got a little advantage over a car, but you're still not a high water vehicle.
Right.
I mean, that's personally dangerous for you because 6 inches can make a huge difference at that point, right, with water depth?
Yes, sir. I did have to watch where I was driving as well.
And you had been, so you had been kind of rescuing people that evening already, and then you came across this car.
Yes,
and
sir.
You got out, and you were helping.
Yes, sir.
Because you told him to get out of the car, because he was in his car, and then what happened?
Well, he was already actually
out. Oh,
he
okay.
was out of the vehicle,
okay.
But the water was between us.
Okay.
And trying to just find the safest way for him to get to me so I could get him out of there and get him, you know, on his way.
And as soon as you got close to him, everything changed.
Yes, sir. I saw him start to wade and then kind of went a little bit deeper than that and then just disappeared under the water.
Like how deep? Like to thigh depth, waist depth? How deep was it at that point?
Completely over both of our heads.
Oh, so... But I mean, like at the point where he got swept away, it looked like he was wading into it.
Yes, sir. We were about 8 feet away from each other. When he was waiting, and then it got deep enough where he was attempting to swim, and then that's whenever he was pulled under.
So really deep water, and you didn't realize, or he didn't realize there was rushing current under there too, which is what caught you, right?
Neither of us realized the danger that was going on underneath there. The rain was so heavy, maybe if it had been, you know, clearer, we could have seen that there was some indication that something was going on underneath where the drain was, but with the rain... on the surface of the water, it was impossible to see.
So it's dark, it's night, it's deep, you're watching him, and then all of a sudden he's gone, and you go after him.
Yes, sir.
And find yourself...
in the same situation.
So what... I mean, what was going through your head at that moment?
Fear.
Yeah.
Fear like I've never felt. Just tried to remain calm and hold on to what little oxygen I had left in my lungs.
Well, yeah, because like if you know you're going under, you take a big breath. I assume you didn't even have a chance to do that.
I did not.
So you're under the water on the one side, and you get drawn into this pipe all the way across the road to the other side.
Yes, sir.
Without a chance to breathe. Did you ever even, in the middle of that, was there any chance to grab oxygen, or was it just hope we come out of this alive?
The pipe was completely filled with water.
Ugh. And you get up on the other side and amazed. You find in the video, you're looking for him. Like, your first thought is, I'm looking for this guy.
That's why I went in.
And you found him?
Was to find him.
it's unbelievable. And so he's very grateful. You're yes. very grateful.
We're both very grateful.
just lucky to be alive.
Yes, sir.
And so what happened after that? Like, what happened... I don't know, the day after that, because you're supposed to go on vacation. Like, easy day, right? I'm going last shift before I go on vacation, we're going to have a 20-inch rain event.
Yes, sir. Regardless of what happened, there was still a lot of packing to do and a lot of things to get done before you hit the road.
His family had some chores for him. Yeah, I don't want to hear about your story anymore.
Yeah, it's great. You're on the news. All right, we got to pack. Got to go in the morning.
South Florida.
Oh, my God. So had you ever had, you know, you said 3 years on the road.
Yes, sir.
Had you ever had an incident that, I don't know, I mean, put you in that kind of jeopardy, that gave you any preparation, that in any way gave you a hint of that same level of risk? Or was that really kind of the first incident like that for you?
That was the first incident for me. We've responded to swimmers in trouble, things of that nature, but nothing like this.
Wow. And I'm looking at you. You're wearing your gear today, okay? So you've got your camera. Same camera?
Yes, sir. Still works.
The radio, same radio?
Yes, sir.
Anything that didn't survive the encounter?
The taser bit of dust.
So the taser had to be replaced.
Yes, sir.
But everything else. And then, I mean, I don't know. I assume your gear wasn't ruined in any way. You just had to, what, dry it out?
I just let it dry out.
Wow. It's amazing. Horrible incident where we really could have been telling a very different story. How Is this, I assume this is a still like you can't believe it at this, even now about a week and a half later, it's still hard to believe.
In the moment, the first thing I felt was disbelief, and I'm still sort of feeling that now.
Yeah, I believe it. You said, now, I don't know, are you married? You have family?
Yes, sir. I'm married with three children.
How did they respond?
Well, of course, my wife was relieved and scared to death after I told her what had happened. But I'm just very grateful that I have time with them now.
Yeah. And I'm going to take a guess here. You tell me if I'm off target, but you strike me as maybe a man of faith. I don't know.
Yes, sir.
How has that played into this, if at all?
First and foremost, just thanksgiving to God for sparing me and seeing me through a very terrible incident. But both David and I are men of faith. And
that was the man you rescued, David?
Yes.
Okay.
And just grateful to God.
Amazing.
You know, Andrew, a lot of times the men and women in law enforcement, like nameless, faceless people, they're just a uniform or just a cruiser car. And that's why I thought it was so important to bring William in. I mean, these are again, men and women that have families. You know, William went home that day, had to recount it to his wife countless times probably. And then they had to get ready to go on vacation because he's got a family. This expected him to be a family man. The community expects the men and women in law enforcement to do the job, to answer the call, and yes, sir, and no, sir, and just the facts, and do the job. But these are people. We employ people in our community. These are men. These are women that have families. And I think it's important to note that that William was out there just doing his job. He didn't know that he was going to get sucked under. He didn't know that the job that he was sworn to do could potentially take his life. And again, when I read it, when it first came across, it's kind of odd that I got the recap of the night. We saved a couple people, high water vehicles, and then a little note in the bottom. Oh, by the way, we had a deputy sucked into a storm drain. And I said, oh, wait a minute. So I reread it. And it wasn't until I saw the body camera footage that I understood how dangerous it could have been. And I found myself even watching it, holding my breath as well. You know, you're watching movies and you think you're trying to hold your breath, and then I can't tell you how many times we in the office have kind of figured out how long can you hold your breath? You know, is it 35 seconds without taking a breath, as William just said.
Now I know cops, okay? Cops are they're great allies, and then as soon as there's an opportunity to bring some humor, they will. It's been a week and a half. Are deputies having fun with this yet, or is it still too raw?
It was immediate.
There's no doubt.
Oh, no.
I'm even dried out yet.
I know in the military this would be the basis of your call sign, and I know deputy, I know law enforcement would be like, oh, that's really cool, deputy sewer drain. I mean, like that.
The body camera turned off, so I'm glad we didn't get the hey flipper,
Hey, when flipper, that's good. any personal favorites for you, deputy?
Scuba Steve was pretty popular.
Oh man, I know it. And but because you were okay and he was okay, it's time to have fun.
Humor heals.
Thank God. Oh man, that's fantastic. Well, Sheriff, you and I talk about stuff all the time, and I say, thank your people, right? And we appreciate what you do. Deputy Hollingsworth, you did something that put your life at risk that is the kind of thing that we expect you to do, and we're still in awe that you do it. So that just, for me, from the community, thank you. Thank you for living. Honestly, thank you for doing what you did, and thanks for being with us today, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for your support.
And I know you're a little nervous to be on the air, but you did great.
Thank you.
Seriously, thank you. Which was scarier? This lasted longer.
I'm sure you'd rather be out in the street probably answering
that's
calls.
That's right. Sheriff, you and I were going to talk just a little bit. I don't know that we've the donut strike just ended. That turned out well, right? The Man of Donut Strike. In fact, that's supposed to be going on like kind of now, right?
Yeah, I think the closeout is today at Jay's Bakery this morning. Actually, yep. At Jay's Baker, Bakery, Chief Deputy Leiter, and I think Chief Deputy Hobbs will be there to do finish it out.
Very
while
good.
I'm here, while, you know, walking this deputy around.
And you're parading the you know, the hero. Also today there's a joint exercise I think you guys are doing with Fire Rescue, Life Flight, and NAS Pensacola. Their security forces are doing that today. Is that right? Oh, okay. I thought I read a release about that. So just wanted to, you know, just to make sure people are aware that if they see something heightened activity, don't be alarmed today. There is an exercise on the base that you'll be seeing. So
yeah, we normally just tell people that there is an exercise, like you just said, but not really details about it because we don't want to usually tell people exactly how we train or what we train for.
And you guys also unveiled a new vehicle. You got a drug seizure vehicle. It's one of these high-end supercars that you got from the drug dealers that you rebranded as the new Sheriff's Corvette. Is that right?
Sheriff's Corvette was last year's car. And, we still have that. We haven't auctioned it off yet. I may rewrap that one more time. But in the meantime, the Sheriff Foundation, they understand, law enforcement is cars and vehicles and equipment, like firefighters or fire trucks and such. And they understand the value of having a car. So they donated as a gift to the sheriff's office a 57 Chevy Bel Air with the sheriff's office insignia with a blue light on it. And so we're going to be using that to help with our engagement opportunities. And so, the Sheriff Foundation does a great job supporting the men and women at the sheriff's office with whether it's sudden hardship, whether it is events, just to say thank you to the work that, you know, that just much like you just
I've
did.
I've seen it. It's
say
pretty
thank
cool.
Thank you so much for the work. And that now we have this beautiful 57 Chevy pickup truck. Chevy Bel Air looks just like the cars would have looked like in 57.
Oh, man, that's really cool.
We did some research, actually, and there's a bunch of different versions of these cars. I guess in the 50s, the sheriff's office didn't have a lot of money for different cars, and so they got what they got. You know, some are two-doors, some are four-doors, some are, you know, road patrol cars, and some are what are called road patrol cars, and some are actually cars they put into the calls for service. And we love the car. It's quickly becoming one of our favorites in the fleet.
That's great. Well, Deputy Hollingsworth, again, thank you. I did a real quick question is after this, I mean, was there any question for you whether you were coming back to be a sheriff's deputy?
Not at all. No
back
question.
On the job immediately. And we always like to end with a safety tip. I think you probably are the best one to deliver this message. Do you have a safety tip for our citizens out there?
Yes, sir, I do. I know from personal experience, do not drive into standing water.
Absolutely.
And stay clear of storm drains.
And stay clear of storm drains. That's right. Well, Deputy William Hollingsworth, Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks to both of you, and thanks for all what you do, keeping us safe. I appreciate it.
Yes,
you bet. Y'all take care.
And by the way, I know you can't see it because it's on the radio, but he's a big dude. I mean,
when he walked in, I was thinking, gosh, I wonder how that happened.
That's what
Andrew,
Andrew
just blurts it out. Oh, my God, how did you fit through that drain with another guy?
Because that was my first thought. I'm like,
it just came out of your mouth.
If it had been me, it's kind of like sort of you can see it. But I'm like, this dude's two of me, you know?
Yeah, when he was done, he picked up Andrew McKay, kissed him on the forehead, and set him back down.
Did like shoulder presses with me on his, you know, that's just right. Like, you know.
He
but
took
no.
me to go get a balloon. He's huge. Oh, my God.
And
he's like a walk
such a
wall.
Sweetheart. I mean, absolutely
so
such a sweetheart.
Nice,
such a kind guy, yeah. All right, 552 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors. Seriously, go. Here's one reason why you go to Frontier. I mean, there's so many, but here's one reason. You go there because of selection. You know, if you go to, like, a dealership, you get to see the cars that they've got, their brand. If you go to a different dealership, you see the car, right? And eventually, if you want to see kind of all the cars in the category that you're looking at, well, you got to go to five or six different places, perhaps. You go to Frontier, and it's all there, 300 cars, trucks on the lot. And, like, the trucks are on the one side, and the cars are on the other side, basically. And, you know, I mean, you can walk from one to the other. I'm just saying they're kind of grouped together. And so if you want to see the sedans, well, you go to the sedan zone. You know, and you look around and you could see everything you've got and you can touch all the knobs and sit in and adjust the seats and the mirrors and you can really get a feel for them. If you want to drive one or two or four or five, you know, you can all side by side without ever having to go from one place to the next. And then because you know what happens, like it's like shopping for houses. You know, well, what was that first house like again? You know, well, what was that first car like again? OK, well, just go back to it because it's 5 feet away. That's one of the advantages is just the selection of good quality cars that are a year, two, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, and good prices. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Cannell and Company Realty is proud to be a sponsor of the Blue Angels Air Show. Locally owned and operated, they're now celebrating 40-plus years in business, selling homes to generations of families that they've worked with during those years. Whether you're buying or selling, Cannell and Company Realty has the marketing savvy to get the job done with no add-on costs and never a franchise or administration fee. Cannell and Company Realty, friendly, dedicated, full-time realtors. 2107 Airport Boulevard. Like them on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Doug's Auto Supply and Face isn't your ordinary auto supply dealer. Jeremy Dawson, manager, says his inventory is vast. It includes auto and truck parts, tools, motor oil and other fluids, batteries, more blades, belts, filters, paint. Doug's may even have the kitchen sink. Doug's Auto Supply. Get your wiper blades installed for free and a free battery check. Doug's Auto Supply, since 1977, located near Grocery Outlet in Pace, a proud sponsor of the Blue Angels Air Show.
News Radio 92.3 reminds you that hurricane season is underway. Forecasters are predicting another above normal year for storms. And the Generator Guys are your local generator provider. Are you prepared? Don't be caught without power for days or even weeks. When the storm hits, you should be 1 week ready. And the News Radio 92.3 crew will be live and local with storm coverage on your radio, on your phone, and online. News Radio 92.3 and the Generator Guys are there for you.
Guilty. Guilty. Guilty.
You mean you don't recognize the people judging General Zod? What? What? Come on, you do. Right at the beginning, with the three little root, the hula hoop root going around in the circle that would keep these supervillains in check. I love that scene. Cracks me up.
I'm going to smack you, dude. There's a lot of stuff that I say off air that I don't necessarily mean for everybody to know that I don't remember every word of Superman 2, because it does seem like I would know every word of Superman 2. You're killing me, dude.
I love you so much.
I have zero street cred.
No, whoa. That's my fault.
I have a Bush story. I'll hold it. It's not dirty. They're nice backstage at the end.
Oh, that's good.
I thought they'd be snotty.
Isn't it
you know,
funny?
You always hear these stories, and they were very nice.
But isn't it, I'm gonna make a sweeping generalization, and if I'm wrong, you tell me I'm wrong. You would be the person who would know enough to tell me I'm wrong if I am. Mm-hmm. The people that, you know, they show up with their crazy hair and their wild tattoos and their 53 piercings, and they're basically screaming the lyrics a lot of the time, mm-hmm. are like the sweetest of people.
It's bizarre, man.
And the people who are like, you know, Not to pick on a particular, but like the Wayne Newtons of the world, you know, like they're the most milquetoastiest of the milquetoast, and the way they present themselves seems so wholesome and whatever. And then you get them off screen, and oh my God, who died and made them queen?
You know, right. It's bizarre, dude. People. Like all the rock acts, for the most part, are nice. The '80s bands that didn't really go on to make it, like Kix, are just big jerks
because they live in resentment.
Exactly. Yeah. And then old country stars are mean as hell. Like, it's bizarre. Loretta Lynn was mean to Brent Lane. And tell me he's not the nicest guy.
Yeah, he is. How could you be mean to Brent?
God, it's my favorite story. Poor Brent, though. Aww. I know. It's so sweet. He's so sweet.
Oh, man. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Did you say Wayne Newtoniest? Yeah, did I hear that earlier? I feel personally attacked.
Why? You're nothing like Wayne Newton.
Well, I'm Wayne. David Wayne.
Oh, wow.
David Wayne Newton.
Don't sprain yourself on the reach. Well done. Go ahead, sir.
One of the men wrongfully convicted in the Central Park 5 rape case 3 decades ago has now won a city council primary race. First-time candidate Youssef Salam declared victory in the Harlem primary last night. He was leading with over 50% of the vote. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger is going to be sitting down for an interview with investigators from Special Counsel Jack Smith's office today. Smith investigating former President Trump's role in the January 6th riot and alleged efforts to overturn the election. election. And Oscar winning actor Kevin Spacey due in court in London today. He's facing multiple allegations of sexual assault.
Speaking of the kind of people. Oh. Nice. Way to go. I appreciate
Wayne
that.
Newton.
I like it.
I know.
That's good.
Speaks to me.
That or cut to Ferris Bueller.
I know. I'm playing Ferris Bueller.
Oh, you know what freaked me out? So my wife's been watching this Carpool Karaoke on Apple TV, and it was, I think it was, a, I don't know, she was watching a couple episodes while I was doing my show prep, and they were singing Donkashane a la Ferris Bueller on the float.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I could hear it, and I'm like, but that's not the movie. What's going on? And I walked out, oh, okay, well, so be it.
I was surprised it was a dude.
No. I didn't say
Wayne Newton sounds like a
dependable
man.
Traffic on the fives. Weekdays on News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.